Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. Two everyday guys talking about everyday stuff, like their latest tech obsessions, sports, current events, and more. And now, the two people who are recipients of the most eye rolls in history. Please welcome the Two Bobs.
Welcome to the... Oh, no, too early.
You haven't started... Well, I did start recording, but...
I set mine to auto.
It's the Bobs. Welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. Today is Monday, February 6th, 2017. This is episode 5.
You don't want to say when it was recorded? No. We're not doing that.
I did.
No, you didn't. Did you?
I did it backwards, though. Oh. I did today's, you know.
Woo!
So, yeah, I did it backwards. All right. We're good.
I mean, you can cut this. Do you want to start over again? Hey, guys, welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast.
Who the am I?
This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Oh, shit.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
I swear, I haven't even drank that much. Wow, okay. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hi, welcome to the Two Bobs Podcast. My name is Rob, and this is the third time that we've tried to do this tonight.
And I'm Robert, and today is Monday, February 6th, 2017, and you are listening to episode 5. How's it going?
Pretty good. How you doing, Robert?
I'm doing all right. It's been a long week. We normally record these episodes on Sundays, but a few exceptions here. It's a Monday night, and it's feeling kind of funny. I don't know. I think we're both a little bit out of sorts this time.
Yeah, I think so. I started my drinking early today, so so I'm already a little ways into it.
I understand. Today's been a long day, and I'm glad to be home and glad to have a nice cool beverage here, which we'll cover those in a few minutes. But it's good to be talking to you finally. I like keeping things in order and doing things when they're supposed to be. So this has been a little bit of an adjustment for me, but here we are. So,
well, you know, there was a football game of sorts that got in the way of our usual Sunday routines. So,
did you have a good weekend?
I did. Enjoyed it. Enjoyed the game. You know, obviously, we'll get into that a little bit.
But who can avoid it today?
But first, we got an iTunes review here. We got a good one. 5 stars by Charles Schlodraff. Schlong Giraffe. No, he has some good feedback.
He's a nice guy, I think.
No,
I don't know. I don't know him, but I'm sure he's very nice. He left us a review, so he's number one in our book.
I think so too. But he said, for two guys named Bob who never actually met, which is true, it is hard to believe that since they are let's try that again. you're gonna be doing some editing this week. For two guys named Bob who never actually met, which is hard to believe since they're both named Bob, their rapport is natural, and I think they're off to a great start. Thanks a lot, Charles Schlodraff.
Yeah, thanks, appreciate Charles. It. Well, we did hit a pretty big milestone this weekend, and I posted about it on Facebook. For those of you that aren't on Facebook, you should be. If you don't do the Facebook thing, we have Twitter and Instagram, so I try to get this message out to everybody, but we hit a big milestone, and that was 400 downloads overall between the 4 shows we've done so far, which could not be happier about that. So
yeah, that's awesome.
We wanted to take just a moment here at the beginning of the show to kind of echo the sentiment that was posted on social media. But we thank you very much for your support, encouragement, feedback, including these iTunes reviews that we got, like from Charles. We thank you for spreading the word by sharing the show. Please keep it up. If you haven't done so already, sharing thing that we mentioned, if you can invite your friends to the Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram as well. We are at Two Bobs Podcast on both of those. And finally, please don't be shy about emailing or calling in. We do enjoy hearing from you, and whether or not we incorporate you into the show is one thing, but any feedback you have would be certainly appreciated, and don't be shy. Let us know.
Yep, and that loyal listener line is 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627 for our elderly listeners.
Yeah, I noticed that you had a phone number.
Yes, we do, and please use it.
She'd appreciate us putting the numbers on there.
2627. You can also email us at hello@thetwobobs.com. So if you want to send us a note about what you think about the show or just any other ideas or suggestions, please let us know.
Yeah, please. We mention this every week, but seriously, you know, just do it. Stop listening. Well, keep listening. Keep listening, but reach out. Let us know what you think. Appreciate it.
That's right. So what are you drinking tonight?
Well, if you didn't already tell, Robert, I already kind of started.
It's not obvious.
I'm drinking Dragon's Milk, which is by New Holland Brewing out of Holland, Michigan, over on the west side of the state. This Dragon's Milk is a bourbon barrel stout. It's an aged bourbon barrel stout. It has some vanilla tones in it. It's strong, though. It's 11% by volume, so I'm going to have to pace myself a little bit on this one. But it's one of my favorite beers. It's a nice dark beer, and it tastes really nice. How about you?
It's a giant bottle, too. It looks like you're drinking out of a brown paper bag.
This is what's referred to as a 22-ounce or a deuce, depending on where you're from. That's right. And, I'm just...
From the streets.
Yeah, I don't know if I can drink the whole bottle tonight, though. We'll be in trouble.
Let's pace ourselves. Last week, I went with a Virginia beer that was three-notched brewery that wasn't too far from here. And they actually reached out to me after the episode wondering why I didn't give them as glowing a review as I should have. And the beer was really good. And like I said in the episode, I think I drank it pretty quickly. So I definitely will buy some more again once I get up there to the store. This week, I'm drinking a beer that I was going to buy when I actually bought that one. I went and made my own six-pack because I like to try a bunch of different ones. And this is one that somebody recommended. They didn't have it as a one-off. They only had it in a six, and I was a little bit nervous, so I didn't buy that. But it's a Wisconsin beer by a brand called Lion and Kugels, which I'm sure you're familiar with. And this was a bit of a stretch, which is why I only wanted one, but it's a winter beer. It's Cranberry Ginger Shandy.
Oh, that sounds good.
So it actually is very good. I was quite surprised. I generally don't like a lot of fruity beers. In a Hefeweizen, I generally will use an orange, or I don't drink Corona, so I'll never drink a Corona with or without a lime or whatever they put in it. But for a winter-type beer, it's perfect. We're 65 degrees out here in Northern Virginia, so it's not quite winter out there, even though it is February. But I like it. I'll probably get a six-pack of it before it disappears from the shelves and enjoy it another time. But
yeah, I've drank a couple of Lion and Kugels beers. Their Summer Shandy is kind of a favorite of mine during the summer. If you're out in the sun, out at a picnic or hanging out with some friends, it's a nice citrusy type of beer to drink during the summer. So I'm a fan.
Yeah, that one I haven't tried, but I've seen good reviews about it, and I always look for it. But the same kind of thing, I can never find it in a single, so I'm always a little bit hesitant to buy six and then, you know, they just sit in there. I've got a couple up there that I haven't had a chance. Well, haven't taken the time to drink because I didn't really like the first one. So I guess I just need to pour them out or donate them to local school because that's frowned upon.
Maybe Red Cross will come pick them up from your house or something like that.
I'll set them outside for AmFets.
Can you, if Salvation Army picks it up, can you write it off in your taxes next year? That's what I need to know.
I would hope so.
So I'm sitting pretty here with this beer and on with the show. So speaking of shows.
Did you watch the big show?
I did. And I know we were both kind of rooting for Atlanta.
Yes.
I think not only the Falcons, but the city of Atlanta, I think really they've never really had it. You know, even when the Braves were the best team in baseball, they still couldn't win a World Series. So. Atlanta just has terrible luck when it comes to winning championships. And last night was definitely no exception to that. So what are your thoughts on?
Yeah, on the big game? Was my thought too. Like, what does that locker room feel like? You know, after the game, how do these guys wake up this morning and go through the day knowing that chance right there to beat the Patriots? You know, arguably the best team in football. They have them there on the ropes, and you know they were able to kind of scratch back and claw their way back to a tie game and then ultimately go ahead. But I really feel bad for the guys. You know, they had it, and it kind of goes back to a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the Packers loss. And you know, my idea was that I didn't want it to be like when they lost to the Seahawks a couple years back, where they were ahead. Like I said, you're almost getting your Super Bowl tickets, and you end up losing, you know, at the last minute or towards the end of the game, and that's really what that was. And you know, you could kind of sense in a couple of their players, you know, eyes and just the look on their face. They were just really happy to be ahead, and I wonder how many of them were already thinking to, you know, the hoisting the trophy at the end and then have it basically ripped away. It didn't really slip; it was ripped.
Well, yeah. I mean, when it was 28-3 going into the second half of the game, I mean, you know, and one of the commentators, I forget which one, but one of the commentators during halftime said, you know, don't write off the Patriots yet. I mean, don't underestimate what a good team they are and how powerful of an offense they have. And I mean, we saw it. We saw it in the second half of the game. It was crazy. You know, it was one of those games where you kind of stop watching it even for a while just because you're like, well, this is such a blowout. You know, I'll just, you know, channel surf or I'll go do something else for a little bit. And I think I was talking to some people at work today, and that was kind of the thing. They're like, well, you know, honestly, we stepped away or I was at a party, so we just started, you know, talking amongst yourselves. And all of a sudden, we looked over at the TV, and I mean, things had turned around. It happened very quickly. Yeah. And, you know, I don't like the Patriots necessarily. And yeah, you know, I don't like Tom Brady necessarily. But I got to give him credit. I mean, to come back from that big of a deficit, which is, it's never been done in the Super Bowl. There's never even been an overtime in the in the Super Bowl. So for them to come back and then just, you know, force an overtime and then just power through that overtime in one possession was just amazing. It was amazing. You know, one thing I say about Tom Brady, too, is, you know, again, and whether you like him or not, he maintains his cool in the most, you know, what could very well be his last football game ever as a professional, at least. Just maintain his cool through that whole game and just take command of the game and take command of the offense and just how smart he is with how he handles the balls and the plays he makes. You know, he's not going to throw the ball just because he has the ball and he needs to throw it downfield. He's gonna make a move to get himself in position to where he's going to make that pass. It was beautiful what he did. I mean,
yeah, he basically takes, you know, all his confidence and gives it to the other guys that are out there with them. So they believe in him and he believes in them. And, you know, through that, they're able to overcome, I mean, a 25-point deficit at the half when previously 10 points was the maximum that, you know, anybody's ever come back from. You know, it just, I you know, like you and like many, I don't like them, but mostly because they win all the time. And I would have been really thrilled to see the Falcons hoisting the trophy at the end of the game and bringing a Super Bowl to that city. They had a great year, and it just wasn't their time this year. And now Shanahan's off to the 49ers, so we'll see. You know, the Falcons could come back from that and have somebody else. And now that the mold is kind of cast, and got to bring back the right guys. But
yeah, and I'm interested. What happens to the Patriots? You know, in a situation where they don't have Tom Brady too. You know, who's the nucleus of that team. You know, it's like Eiserman leaving the Red Wings. I mean, I don't think the Red Wings have been quite the team that they were since he was captain, honestly.
I mean, I expect him to be back. I mean, he's 39 years old, but at the same time, he's not going anywhere, I don't think. I mean, his body is not giving up on him. He's not, you know, coming apart at the seams, and he's playing arguably his best, you know, football. And considering he missed the first four games due to suspension, you know, to jump in there and take that team, and you know, have to get the congratulations and the handshake from Roger Goodell at the end of the game probably was pretty sweet.
Could you sense the tension though when he had to hand he had to hand over the trophy to the owner of the
I saw a video today Patriots. You know, with Goodell standing there next to him, trying to get his attention to be able to shake his hand, and Brady was just basically giving him the cold shoulder. And you know, he could see out of the side, a lot like that Bill Clinton video where he could see out of the side that he was there, but he just ignored him for a few minutes and eventually turned and, you know, shook his hand, listened to whatever he had to say, and you know, went about it. And you know, definitely felt, I'm sure that he felt that his redemption was there and was able to do it in front of the guy that caused him, or I mean, whether he calls it himself, but whether right in front of the guy that has, you know, suspended him and basically tried to tarnish his legacy from the end of last season on through the beginning of this season. So
quite unsuccessfully, I might add.
That's right.
Did you see the halftime show at all?
I did. I thought, you know, I'm not a huge Lady Gaga fan, but I thought she did a fantastic job. The sound was on, you know, on point. The music was perfect. Her performance was amazing. There was no controversy, nothing happened, no wardrobe malfunctions, no lights failing, any of that. You know, I started to go through it because we had paused it. Then Melissa was, you know, like, hey, I want to watch that. So we rewound it and watched it. And I'm glad I did because I really thought it was great. How about you?
No, I liked it. The fact that she actually, you could tell she was actually singing the song, singing the music, you know, to avoid a Mariah Carey New Year's Eve,
Rockin'
Eve issue, you know, I mean, which I could appreciate. I mean, she's out there dancing around and literally flipping upside down, and she's singing while she's doing all that is pretty cool. So, you know, I'm not a big Lady Gaga fan either. That's what they call her. But you know, I thought I really appreciated the artistry in it. One thing I thought was really cool was at the very beginning, with them lighting the sky up with drones.
Yes.
At the beginning of her performance. At first, I thought it was like CGI or something like that. I'm like, how the hell are they getting the sky to light up like that behind her? And then I found out later on they used 300 Intel drones to do that, and I thought that was pretty darn cool, actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't really quite notice what that was either, but like you, I thought that was pretty cool once I saw what it actually was. So that was a cool way to do it. Glad nobody got hurt. But did you eat anything good during the Super Bowl? I had posted earlier on Facebook that morning that today's festivities sponsored by Carbohydrates Unlimited, which a lot of people seem to agree with that I wasn't the only one going through that. But did you eat anything good?
Tacos and bean dip and Boston cream pie.
Oh man, that's some good stuff. You know,
we went to my in-laws for a little bit. You know, played it cool this year. Went to my in-laws, ate some food, came home, finished watching the game after the kids went to sleep, and you know, had a good time. How about you?
We did the usual stuff. You know, wings and the potato skins, and I like these. There's these egg rolls that I get from the store that are really good. So one of the stories that I saw this morning was a woman in Philadelphia who won the Wing Bowl 25. So I guess that's the 25th time that they've done this, but she's a two-time Wing Bowl champion. In the competition yesterday, she ate 95, actually wasn't yesterday, it was just a couple days before that, 95 wings and 5 pounds of steak in a matter of about 5 minutes in order to win $5,000.
And I'm disgusted, but also pretty impressed by it too.
Yeah. Usually when you see these things, if you've seen some of the hot dog eating contests and that, you just imagine a very large person, male or female, that's eating this food and looking at the video of her, which we'll put in the show notes, but she's a, you know, regular built person, but she was able again in 5 minutes to eat 95 wings and 5 pounds of steak in order to win this. So is that something you think you would ever do?
No. I couldn't eat that much food, and I'm not going to make the cover of Men's Health anytime soon, but I could never eat that much food. Not even close. But the fact that I thought it was crazy was she wolfed down 95 total wings, won the $5, and then
$5,000.
I'm sorry, $5,000. Ken, that's the beer talking. And then after that, then she ate 5 pounds of steak in, you know, 3 minutes and 17 seconds.
Yep.
Which also was a world record after that. So she ate 95 wings, and then she broke a world record for eating 5 pounds of steak after she had already eaten the 95 pounds of wings. It's crazy to me.
Yeah. No, there's, I mean, 95 wings is crazy. I mean, I can usually get through 6, 12, whatever it is at the most, but besides being messy, I just can't eat them. I tend to eat small throughout the day, you know, multiple times, but that much food, she's got to be miserable by the time she's done. You know, do you keep it in there, or do you find some place to get rid of it so you can have a normal rest of the day?
I mean, you know, in one end, out the other, right? Actually, what's funny is, and if you live in Michigan, or even if you don't live in Michigan, it's kind of made some national headlines. There's a gigantic,
it's cold there, isn't it?
It's freezing cold, but there is a gigantic sinkhole, maybe a couple miles from my house, that has like that whole area. I mean, it's sucking down, literally sucking houses down into it.
Yeah.
It's 50 feet under the ground and a big 11 foot sewer grate that, you know, and so it's a big project. It's a big problem too. So they actually, what's funny is that it was on all the news sources and stuff to try to avoid last night, to try to avoid flushing your toilet as much as possible, because they said Super Bowl is one of the biggest nights of the whole year, as far as, you know, waste disposal. So, you know, people eat a bunch of food. They, you know, again, it comes out the other end. And so, you know, the sewers get, you know, they're worked harder on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day of the year. So it was just kind of funny, you know, this local municipality is like, yeah, try not to flush your toilet. I'm sorry. I go firmly by the rule, if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down. So
no, always flush it. I don't like to see any, you know, anything left over. And if I go in there and there's something in there, no matter what it is, I'm flushing it first. I'm not mixing. So I know there's nothing wrong with it, but it's just a personal thing, you know,
no,
in case there's any splashback or something.
No, I tend to side with you on that one, honestly.
Get rid of it.
Yeah. So any other crazy news out there?
I did see another one that was kind of funny. And I was just the other day at Target and hanging out outside before they opened. And your box hasn't arrived yet, by the way, I saw. But anyhow, I was looking at the big red balls that they have outside the Target stores, and one of them looked like it was, you know, a little bit worse for wear. And I've never quite – I know that they're there, and I always thought it was just kind of for decoration, but they serve a point. You know, it's like those big – tall yellow things that keep people from driving through the front door. But anyhow, there's a Target in New Jersey where one of those balls became loose. It got bumped by a truck and it rolled into traffic and hit another car. And the thing says it weighs 2 tons, which is, that's rather heavy. So imagine you're driving into the parking lot to go to Target to buy some beer for your podcast, and you get blindsided by this big red ball that comes, you know, rolling down and slams into the side of your car as you're trying to park.
I mean, this is crazy to me, and I know exactly what you're talking about, because my kids, they like to, you know, jump on top of them and stuff whenever
it's going to roll away.
But just, I mean, to be driving, just, you know, picture you're driving down the street, just, you know, minding your own business. A 2-ton ball comes slamming. It's like it reminds me of something out of Indiana Jones. I mean,
exactly.
That's crazy. And I saw the article here, and it says they did $3,500 of damage in the car that it hit. I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, just bumped by a pickup truck, so it's not even like it got, you know, bumped into by a delivery truck that was bringing some, you know, items for the store. It was just, I mean, a regular truck that bumped it and caused it to break free and roll into traffic where it smashed into a moving car. So
I mean,
I don't know. And Target's not going to be footing the bill for this either, even though, I mean, I guess maybe it's got to be the other guy's insurance that was driving the pickup truck. But at the same time, somebody there at Target's got to be liable for, you know, inspecting those to make sure, because it could have been a kid that was run over, or, you know, like you said, your boys like to play on it and climb on it. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure they're, you know, nowhere near the size and strength of a pickup truck. But at the same time, if it's loose enough that a mild bump can cause it to roll free, then it makes you want to keep the kids away from it.
I guess you could say Target's balls are out of control.
Red balls.
They generally have ball issues. I mean, you know, with their restroom policies and their big red balls in the front of the store rolling into the street and hitting other cars. It's a big liability. They got to get their balls under control again. I mean, if I hit somebody's car with my balls, I would fully expect them to there to be some sort of legal repercussion. So it's just crazy to me that they're just not taking ownership of the situation. Your balls are out of control. You hit somebody's car with them, you got to pay up.
That's right. So the other story, and I sent it to you for something to discuss, and you had already heard about it. But since you knew about it before I did, I'll let you take the lead on this one, because I haven't actually seen it, because I've got a bit of a phobia with these.
Oh, you're going to let me take the lead? Thanks, buddy.
I know. I have a control issue, but I'll do, since there are two of us.
That's true. Guess what? You're going to watch it right now, though.
All right. Bring it up.
All right. Here. Did you see it? Do you see my video here? All right. Yeah. This is, so you see it?
Yeah.
So first off, let me preposition this.
Yeah,
so
you got to tell everybody what I'm getting ready to watch.
So it's a freakish story. So a woman in southeastern India woke up one day this week to a nightmare sensation, the feeling that a bug had crawled up her nose. And I'm getting this from Huffington Post, by the way. But the 42-year-old woman, Chennai resident, identified only as Selvi, made her son-in-law take her to the medical clinic Tuesday morning so doctors could examine her. So what she said was she couldn't explain the feeling, but she was sure there was an insect up in her nose. There was a tingling, crawling sensation. Whenever it moved, it gave her a burning sensation in her eyes. So what doctors discovered is there was a cockroach from India, lodged literally like sitting on her skull between her eyes in her nasal cavity. And they tried sucking it out, but they couldn't get it out with suction, like kind of vacuuming it out. So they went in there and endoscopically with a skull.
Bugs can crawl on walls. They're not going to come out with, you know, a little bit of that. And it's soft tissue in there. It's not like drywall where you can just use the vacuum to get a spider. It's the thing's holding on for dear life. So, you know, I'm already feeling a little bit scratchy and a little bit
tweezer it out. I live up in the tundra, though. We don't have cockroaches, so.
All right, your hair doesn't grow up there; it just freezes as soon as it grows out. So let's watch this video and get it over with.
Here it comes. Oh man!
All right, yeah. So it looks like they've grabbed it. Looks like with a tweezer. Actually, it looks like the end of like a needle nose plier. But they're going.
Oh man!
They're going deep. Look, in there.
It doesn't want to get out. It's like
crawling back.
He's all comfortable.
It's going deep. Here it comes.
Oh man! Oh,
nasty.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Nasty. Right there in the dish.
Yeah, they just put it in a little, like, they got like a little salad bowl right there.
Oh, cockroach. My.
They're putting some salt on it, some curry.
He's not happy. He's on his back. Yeah, that's disgusting. So, I don't like cockroaches. I don't like bugs. I don't like those ones that have, you know, thousands of legs. And, you know, whenever I pick up bugs, I got to pick them up with a lot of towels or a lot of tissues or any of that. So I don't touch it. And even then, when I know I haven't touched it, I still squirm. So this is pretty nasty.
What's crazy to me, though, is that it was just chilling up there. The doctor even said, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name, but what he basically said is he's been in the business for 30 years and he's never seen a bug like that, less a roach. Up there, and some crawl up somebody's nose like that. I mean, and then he said, actually, he's glad that she came in because it's very, very possible that the roach, the cockroach,
eggs.
that the cockroach would have died up there, and they said it could have caused an infection that could have spread to her brain because it was so close to her brain.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I feel like the warmer the climate, though, the bigger the bugs. So.
That's true.
Up here, if I got to deal with a couple spiders here and there, I'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing, I actually just saw it, and I'll have to see if I can find the article, but it was one of those things where all the things that drive kids crazy, you know, there's, you know, a monster under the bed or a monster in the closet. And, you know, one of the things was about spiders crawling in your mouth when you're asleep. And they're like, that's BS. None of that stuff ever happens, which, you know, who's going to say it really doesn't. But then this came out about the lady with the cockroach in her nose. And I kind of have to think that the article talking about the spider going in your mouth, you know, not being something you need to worry about is something you need to worry about. No cockroaches in my nose, please.
Can't say I disagree with you on that one, Robert.
That's pretty nasty.
Cockroaches nowhere, especially inside of my orifices. I got to tell you.
Yeah, well, orifice is one of those words that was on BuzzFeed. I heard it on another show, but orifice was one of the words that was supposed to be, you know, that just makes people squirm. And one we have here that my stepdaughter doesn't like it, but the word moist.
I was just about to say moist.
Moist, orifice, squirt. There was a whole bunch of those, but we can add those. I didn't want to steal their idea. So,
a lot of,
but yeah, Orifice is definitely one of them. You know, one thing I had too, when I was a kid, my sister had an episode where, she's probably six at the time, and she went into the bathroom in our lower level basement area. And, we heard this blood curdling scream coming from in there. Basically not quite a cockroach, but she went in there to use the restroom and sat down, and I don't remember whether she looked down and saw this or she saw it when she got up, but there was a giant black spider that was right there in the toilet, right up at the front of it. That was probably, and I remember it because we spent probably the next 5 minutes trying to flush it because nobody wants to touch it, but it was probably two and a half inches across. It wasn't a tarantula, but I remember it was black and it had like these white stripes on it. It was pretty gross.
One of my just worst nightmares is just any worst nightmare I have involves some sort of bug or specifically spider, either just being, you know, on me or around me or God forbid in me. So I'd scream like a little girl in that situation too. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, like I said earlier, I'm not a big bug fan, and Melissa's always laughing at me, you know, to get
bugs.
Who is
a bug fan?
Well, there are some out there that study these, but you know, us big tough guys that we are here are not a fan. And usually she'll ask me to get bugs, and I'm like, that's okay. And I spray the
shit out of them. I got sprays for all the bugs.
You spray them, or yeah, I've done the vacuum thing where I get the wand out, and she's like, well, why don't you just use the tissue? It's like, yeah, but it's going to squirm, and it's going to crawl out, and it's going to get on my arm, and I'm going to have to scream, and I'm going to flick my arm, and the bug's going to go flying, and I want nothing to do with it. I mean, it's embarrassing enough that I'm afraid of it, and I don't want to be even more embarrassed when it touches me, and I got to jump up and around and run outside.
Kelly, who's my wife,
yes,
in case you didn't know, she's gotten better in recent years. But when we first got married, I remember I'd come home from work and I would just see like a magazine or a newspaper just lying like on the floor in the middle of the room. And I automatically...
One of your men's magazines?
One of my men's
Gentleman's Weekly
health magazine that I was, you know, obviously on the cover of because of my physique. But I just knew that if I saw that, there was a spider under there. So she'd like smash the spider up, but then she'd never want to pick it up or anything. So she'd just leave it there all day long, and it would just be there waiting for me when I got home, a little treat for me. And then one time, she's going to kill me. She's going to kill me that I'm telling you this. But
that's fine.
It's when she's living at her parents' house, and she's got, you know, when she lived in her parents' house in her bedroom, she had this big, like, queen-size bed, and her bedroom wasn't gigantic, so, I mean, it was tight quarters, it was, like, in the middle of the room, so you could, you know, walk around the sides and at the foot of the bed, and then, but it was a little bit of a tight squeeze. I remember one time getting a call, she was in a panic because there was a spider on her bed, and she was on the side of the bed away from the door, so she would had to have passed along the foot of the bed to get out of her bedroom. And she was in a panic because she thought if she tried to pass in front of her bed, that the spider would jump at her and attack her.
Yeah. No, the jumping spider, I mean, I can't recognize them, again, not being a bug fan, but I don't know which ones jump and which ones don't. So
I think that it's pretty safe to say most of them are probably more afraid of us than we are of them.
They are rugged good looks.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's our looks. They're afraid. They're not afraid. They're intimidated by how good looking we are. That's it, Robert. You got to hit the nail on the head there.
They're all telling their friends about us. Going back to this woman eating 95 wings, because I'm full just thinking about it. You said that you hadn't done anything. Is there anything, you know, that you could say that you've done that was stupid? That would be one of them if you had to say just. I mean, the uncomfortableness, but I mean, maybe for $5,000, it's worth it.
So remember last week when we did the things that we do that drive our spouses, our wives crazy?
Yes. Episode 4?
Know, yeah, and you gave me quite a bit of shit for, you know, being able to easily find so many things that drive my wife crazy. So I think I don't do a ton of really stupid stuff because I'm spending all of my time driving my wife crazy. Right. So it sounds like you might just be spending most of your time doing stupid shit. We've all done stupid stuff. Yeah. Actually, I have one that I remember in particular, and this is when Excuse me. This is... I have one in particular and seen. No, I have one in particular, and this is when I was Kelly was pregnant with our youngest Harrison, and we were getting ready to, you know, have the baby and stuff like that. So I was getting the nursery ready. Well, part of that was painting the nursery because it was like a dark green, and we didn't want dark green. So we went out, and Kelly sent me to Home Depot or Lowe's, one of the two, to go pick up some paint. So I go, and we're looking for a light blue, and I find this one that that looked to me like it was a light blue color. I start painting on it. After a couple minutes, I go, God, that looks kind of purple. I'm like, maybe not, though. No, it's just my eyes. It's the lighting in here. It's actually blue. It's going to dry blue. It looks purple when I dry it on. It's going to dry blue. Kelly comes in. She goes, why are you painting the room purple? We're having a boy. I said, no, it's blue. It's going to dry blue. So I paint the whole room. And it's not a small room, but yeah. I paint the whole room. And it looks purple as hell. My mother-in-law comes over. She comes in. She goes, why did you paint your soon-to-be son's room purple? And I said, no, it's blue.
It's going to dry.
And then it dried, and then it was still purple. So after
I painted a richer purple, too.
Yeah, after I had painted the whole room, I had to go back to the store, buy all new paint. So because of me not feeling like going and buying more paint, I had to paint the entire room again the same day that I had painted it purple.
Wow. So now, did the paint? All right. So the paint you got, you gave them the color from the little swatch or whatever it was, and they still gave you purple. Now you gave them a purple swatch, or
It was a purple swatch.
Oh, now how? But you okay? Now you got to go back. If you're going to paint anything, you don't do it without permission, right?
This is the problem, Kelly.
How did you have a purple swatch?
Because Kelly sent me to go get blue paint. She was like, right. You know, I mean, she's in her second trimester. She doesn't feel like really going anywhere at this time. She's
so lazy, basically.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. She was being a little bit lazy. She goes, I don't know. I trust you.
Let's call it what it is.
Famous last words. I trust you. Go get some paint that would look, would look appropriate. And then I came back, and then
you screwed.
The name of the paint, though, and I should have gone back and looked at the name of the paint.
Lilac.
It was something like something's lilac. And she goes, Kelly goes, she looks at this. She goes, where's the swatch? She puts the swatch. She goes, this is what you picked? I said, yeah. She goes, well, it has the word lilac right on the swatch. Why would you? It's obviously purple.
But in my mind, I'm thinking it's lilac.
No, I'm like, no, it was me. I was in denial about the whole thing. I'm like, nope, that's blue. I'm not going back to the store. So I blame that on everything. It's the lighting. It's, you know, the sun, the sun is shining into the room, and it's bouncing off the carpet and making it look a different color. And it was ridiculous. Well,
I mean, it will. I mean, I do, like I said earlier, we were talking offline, but I do printing, and a lot of times I was doing a press check and I'm looking at this, these colors aren't going to match, or they're whatever it is. Like, it's going to dry back. It's going to dry back. And it always does, but it's not quite as much as they're leading you to believe. So I can see where you're thinking that, hey, maybe it's going to come back because, you know, why would I have picked purple? You know, I'm not an idiot. You trusted me to go pick paint. And, you know, obviously that's something that I can do. And, So what did you end up painting? Did you go back and get more paint, obviously, to paint over it? Or does it still have a purple room?
No, he has a blue room. I was not going to let my son have a purple room. So I literally, the same exact day, I went back to the store. I went with my swatch. I said,
I don't want this one.
Something
I like to return this. It's defective. Send it back to Amazon.
You sent me purple lilacs. I want a blue lilacs. And got some paint, came back, repainted the whole room. I was pissed at myself at that time, so I just anger painted the rest of the room, and got it blue, but took a little bit more effort than it probably needed to. It didn't need two coats.
Yeah, well, that's good. You just paint over it. Well, I've got one that will probably give you something to talk about next time. You know, if you're ever deciding, but
I knew you would.
I I had two of them, but this one is one that I still laugh about to this day. And so why not tell everybody about it? But I bought my first home. I had always lived, obviously with my parents. I lived, we had a house, and I didn't have to do much around the house except for, rake the leaves in the fall and, cut the grass and all that. So fast forward a few years, I move out. I live in apartments in a couple different cities and, don't have any yard to take care of. And eventually ended up buying my own home and had to get my grass planted and all that stuff. So it's growing. And I go out there one day, I'm taking the dog out and we're walking around and I'm looking around at the grass to see how it's doing. And I kind of look down and I see, it's like, we've got like kind of newer trees up along the front. I go up to the trees to check them out. And I kind of look down to see how the grass is doing. And I see these little round things. So I reach down and, I pick one up and look at it and roll it around. And it's like, this is kind of funny. And it's got this like textured pattern around the outside of it. So I pick it up and like, this is weird. So, I mean, it's gotta be, when they were here planting these trees, they probably had some sort of whatever it was that they fouled up. Mm-hmm. So I pick it up and I'm getting ready to go to work. So I get a big, handful of these tree seeds and I pick them up and I want to know what kind of tree it is, so I can take care of it properly and look online and see what I got to do. So I get a scoop of them and I know exactly where this is going, by the way. I put them in my shirt pocket.
Oh no.
And I take the dog back inside and, give her her treat and, pat her and tell her she's a good girl. And
your dog must have been sniffing the shit out of your pocket.
So I drive to work and every now and then I kind of look down and I peek and I was like, it's really boggling my mind what kind of tree seed these are. So I take them and go through the day and we're sitting at lunch and I go, God damn, I knew I forgot something. So I reach in my hand and I'm in my pocket and I'm telling my friends about these tree seeds and I want to know what kind of seeds these are. One of my friends grew up on a ranch in Texas and I'm sure the trees are different there, but so basically I pull them out and I set them on our lunch table. I'm like, all right, I'm going to need, there's six of us there. And I'm saying, hey, I need to know what kind of seeds these are. And he looks and he goes, do you have rabbits? I said, well, I don't think so, but I've never seen any. And he kind of looks and he goes, well, no, those aren't seeds. That's rabbit shit.
You put rabbit shit on the table. Oh shit.
So for the longest time, we joked about, these tree seeds that I had. So the other day what made me think about it was I'm outside again with the dog, different dog, but she was there at the time. And I looked down and we do have rabbits that are going through there. And the place where I hang out, I look down, there's a pile of tree seeds. And I basically just fell on the ground laughing. Remember about these tree seeds that I had forgotten about, with my poor memory that we talked about before. But
oh my God,
that's something that I've done that's pretty stupid. So tree seeds will always I will always be fond of the tree seed.
About 5 seconds into that story, when you said you found these little seeds, I said
the texture was grass, but I didn't know.
I'm like, no, that's rabbit shit. He put rabbit shit in his pocket and took it to work his friends at work and put it on the table. And
my pressed white work shirt had rabbit poop in there. I'm just, the thing is, I'm glad I didn't do what a lot of people do is I didn't taste it.
Oh, thank God. That was my next question, actually.
I don't think there's enough Leinenkugel's cranberry ginger shandy to get the tree seed taste out of my mouth had I ever done that. So, That was a good time. Gotta love a tree seed.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
That's kind of how I felt.
Now is that Tommy Boy or Black Sheep?
That's Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
Same guys, of course, but. All right. Well, I think that's probably it for today, unless you have anything else you'd like to add.
No, just, the usual. Just make sure that you follow us at on all the social things at the Two Bobs Podcast, at thetwobobs.com. Email us at hello@thetwobobs.com.
Yeah, and join our Facebook page. We do like to post stuff during the week. Sometimes we find articles, like last week's show. We found an article that discussed why we're annoyed with Rob's chewing habits. We have found a couple of things. He's had the sock. And so we like to keep this going throughout the week. So please join. And then, like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, please send us feedback. Doesn't sound like a beg, but we definitely want to continue to do this. I've gotten good feedback from some folks at work. But we just generally need, honest feedback, what you think, what worked for you, what didn't. Send us, an email with that information. And but definitely join the Facebook group and all that stuff and leave your messages. And again, we'd love to hear from you and hear what you have to say and continue to make the show better. And
also, I've learned not to drink bourbon stouts during recording of the Two Bobs podcast going forward.
I think it was a good show, and I hope everybody else feels the same.
All right.
All right. Have a
good
night.
See you next week.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye.
The preceding show was brought to you with joy by the Two Bobs. All words are their own and not of their respective employers. Music provided by Jewelbeat. To subscribe to the podcast, contact the Two Bobs, or for more information, please visit thetwobobs.com.